Amen, Brother Ron.
Yes, sir.
What a joy it is to be with you. I don't really know how long we've been coming. And somebody was joking me at church, said, "You're going to get sick, ain't you?" Amen. To miss it. But I said, "Oh, no." Boy, while they were singing about nothing I've done, I went back in my life. You know, it's one thing when you're starting off, but then when you turn around and look back, Brother Fred, and, well, I saw God's hand. I got a lot more to give an account for than the fact that I've never had a memory of not going to church. I was raised in church and, got under conviction at an early age in church. And, but anyhow, I'll tell you what, I got sold on to church. And then I thought about this with a particular thought that the Lord has laid on my heart. I really, back early, I'd thought about another passage of Scripture to use, and that then the Lord really began to direct my heart towards this one. I don't know if you'd really consider it a New Year's message or not. I guess you could. But I thought about all the things that God has done for me. And I really believe that God looks after us before we ever get saved. And I thought about when I was in the seventh grade, my dad started keeping veterans out of the veterans hospital in Tuscaloosa. They had the foster home program care. And the day I got out of the sixth grade, when I got in from school, I went up on the hill. Dad had the mule called out and was plowing in the peas. Amen. And I saw a man by the name of Leonard Abercrombie. Never seen him before in my life. Then they just started. That was when I got out of the sixth grade. In October, in the seventh grade, I went out to the car and there was a man by the name of Todd Miles Loving. I never seen him before. 20 years he'd been in the VA hospital in Tuscaloosa. Never been in Tuscaloosa. Didn't even know how to flush the commode when he come to the house. And little did I know that God had put that man in my life to be a great blessing to me. And I don't know, I don't know how to explain it to you, but he was just different than any other veterans. And there's a lot of them come through, but we got close, and I said, if I ever have a boy, I want to name him after you. And the first child we did have was a boy, and so I named him after him. And he went on vacations with us and loved the Grand Ole Opry. And I took him up there to the old Grand Ole Opry. Amen. And he got all excited and forgot all of his medicine. And then 2 years before he died, he's looking out the window, and he said, "Hilda, I don't know if I got anything, but..." He said, "I sure would love for y'all to have it." And she said, "Well, Todd, we'll see what we can do." So I went to the social worker there at the VA hospital at Tuscaloosa, Mr. Perry Baggett. And I said, "Mr. Baggett, I want to run this by you." And I told him what Todd wanted to do. And he said, "I want to tell you," he said, "they really frown on vets making out their wills to their foster home. People said, you know, the government's took care of your people." But he said, "I will say this." He said, if he doesn't have one, he said, "the state of Mississippi will get everything he's got." So we went to Fayette, we got the VFW man, we got our lawyer, me and my sister, brother, and mother, and we sat down, and he willed everything he had to us four. Well, I didn't know if he had anything. And, so 2 weeks after he died, we went to read the will, and there's a man come contested it. He said, "I'm his brother." And we began to do a background check, and more than likely he was his brother. And our lawyer said, he said, "You went out in probate court, but said they'll appeal it down to Hazelhurst, Mississippi." He said, "I don't think you're going to stand a chance." He said, "I'm going to recommend that you go 50-50 with them." I said, "Well, if that's what you think, so that's what we did." But he had $100,000. In the bank. He had over $10,000 and he owned land in Hazelhurst, Mississippi. Now, I said all that to say this. When it's all said and done, God let me have my house because of it. It didn't pay for it, but it blacked it in. And boy, I thought about that. There I was, little old 13, 14 year old boy went out there. I wasn't thinking about down the road. Hey. But God was. I look back now and I think about the good wife that God has given me. 42 years we've been together. Boy, I think about that, and I'm honest with you. I didn't know the verses in the Bible, being unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. I didn't know this in the Bible until after I was done married. But a preacher did tell me, said, son, you think you're looking for a mate? And I said, yes. He said, you better go to praying. So I went to praying. I really thought it was going to be another girl, but God shut that door and let me meet my good wife. And well, it's just been a good time all of these years. Now, with all that said, I want to talk to you tonight on what do you want out of life? You ever considered it? What do you want out of life? I want to read to you, and I went off and left my glasses in the motel room. So if I pronounce words or skip words, you just bear it with me for time's sake, and I do want to try to be observant of it tonight. But in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, would you look at verse number 19? Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Would you flip over to the book of Luke, chapter number 12? Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy food this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What do you want out of life? Fathers, we bow in your presence. Lord, we're humbled to the fact, God, that we have the opportunity to stand before this group of people and open up the good word of God. Lord, how we need your help tonight. Lord, I don't have enough intellect, and Lord, I don't have enough ability, but I pray, God, that the good Holy Ghost would overshadow us and empower us, and Lord, touch us afresh, and Lord, not only me, Lord, but you touch your people that have eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, and a mind to receive the truths of your word. Maybe they just one here tonight. Possibly it's come to a crossroads, or maybe they mean it, Lord. I don't know, but I pray now that you'd help us to honor and lift you up, Lord, for we'd ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What do you want out of life? I guess you could kind of look at it this way. What you want out of life is what you kind of want out of this next year. But I thought about that. He said, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. He said, therefore choose life, that both, what's this now, both thou and thy seed. So we find here was a man, and I don't know about you, but I don't believe our Lord just made up somebody. I believe it was a real man. I believe this man had a bumper crop. I want you to show you three things right there. Number one, his philosophy. I'll take care of number one. That's the way it is in many people's lives today. They're not worried about anybody else. You know, it's just me, myself, and I, or my family. I find many are living in a little bitty world and forget about the big world that's out here. This man's philosophy. I want you to notice he forgot about the principle. In 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into this world, and we will carry nothing out. And then I want you to notice number three, his plans for his life left God all out of it. Verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, that's much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had no plans for God. I thought about myself there. If you allow me just to give you a little bit of personal testimony, that Friday night on March 13th, 1970, when I left home that night in my white bell-bottom jeans and my jersey from the football team, a senior, and my maroon coat with gold letters, son, God wasn't in my plans. I was going out to have a good time that night. All I was living for, all I was looking for down the road, maybe if I could just play ball when I got out of school. But all God changed everything that night. He rearranged everything. And when the door popped open after that wreck, I said, God, just don't let me die. Boy, listen, 2 years, 8 operations, whole time God was putting people in my lives and doing things. Listen, my plans did not include God in the future. Let me ask you, what's your plans tonight? I say, there's nothing wrong with sports tonight if you just don't let God, leave God out of it. I see so many young people today, it seems like they just don't stop and think. I think of mamas and daddies and everything is centered around something that has to do with the flesh. Listen, what that child needs is a touch from another world, amen. I'll tell you, this life will be over with one of these days. And they'll either be in heaven or hell. There ain't no in between, my friend. Oh, listen, what have you thought about? Well, somebody said, preach, I'm too young. Well, I don't believe you can be too young. You find, what was that man, Samuel, over there? He went to, was it Eli 3 times? He said, you call me. Oh, listen, I want to say, I don't believe you can start out too early. Amen. Listen, you'll find, my friends, I found that in different things in different ages. When you look through life, you'll find life has many choices. I've often thought if I'd have got the wrong mate, and I very easily could have, had the Lord not seemingly, my friends, intervened in that situation. You know, I never will forget. And I called up and said, boy, things are a lot different when I come up. Amen. Anybody know what a party line is? We have about 8 of them, and when you'd pick up, you hear them go click, 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 click. Listen, if you didn't want anything told, you better not tell it on the phone, amen. And boy, they'd listen, you know. And I guess we had long distance in Fayette County, I don't know, but I'd drive down the road about 3 miles in Tuscaloosa County, and that's where I do all my girlfriend calling, amen. But I'd met this girl at church, and I'm going to just be honest with you, son, she was a knockout, amen. Especially for an old country boy, you know. And I called her up and I said, what about a date? And she said, that'll be fine. And so I said, well, I'll call you in a few days. And in a few days I called her. And I said, is it still on? And Brother Ron, I've never heard this before in my life. She said, Terry, she said, I always pray before I go on my date. And she said, I've been praying. And I just don't think it's God's will for me to go with you. I want to say, I don't know where that can come from. I never heard of nobody praying going on a date, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you'd be better off if we'd do that, amen. Somebody said, that'd embarrass me. Listen, if you can't pray with him or her, you better leave him alone. Well, that'd be good to have somebody that you could pray with. But anyhow, I thought, well, Lord, now, you shut that door, you know, and boy, there was just some other. Matter of fact, I went with my wife one time for quite a while, and then I had that wreck in March, you know, and then she'll tell you tonight she don't know why she said yes the second time, amen. And it's bad enough she said the first time, and then the second time I told her, I said, you just wanting it, amen. I asked me that I'd be out to go out with you again, but hey, I'm just being honest with you. I can still tell you what she had on that night. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, son, my heart was smitten, amen. I said, I'm going to marry her, amen.
And listen, if I'd have did that instead of waited longer, I wouldn't have wore out two trucks going back and forth to Mississippi. Amen. See, I had to go south out of Alabama to find anybody to marry me. Amen. But I find out it's different things in different ages. Life is filled with choices. My daddy only gave me, far as I know, two pieces of advice. He said, number one, concerning work, a satisfied mind is worth a lot. I've heard them even say, I hate my job. And yet they got my son, he worked at B.F. Goodrich and then got laid off, and he was going to stay on there with K.D. Cahill, I believe it was. But he said, Dad, he said, I was making more than that before I had. And he said, I'm gonna have to go back to it. It's not for a family. He has to work two Sundays a month and a lot of different kinds of shifts. But I think about jobs. Now, I'll be honest with you. I worked in the woods. I started cutting 6-foot cord wood, skidding with mews and stacking it. Number one, we loaded it by hand. And then they got the big stick loader. I thought we'd really got something up then. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, then I can't believe it, sat in that loader on them joysticks, you know, throw them two trees, whoop it through there, knock the limbs off, back it up, hit a button, knock the top out, put it on the truck. And you're in air condition with a radio on. Hey, man. Yeah. First time I worked with air conditioning loader, I told him, I said, I ain't getting out for dinner, amen. I said, this is a far cry from following a mule, amen. It's for some reason. And I had a Christian man. I had a Christian man for about 12 years. As a matter of fact, God used that man in my life. You'll find out about a man when you work with him, amen. Boy, and I want to tell you, poor Brother Herman Sanford, how God that used him. There's education, there's jobs, there's mates. I want to say life is filled with many paths. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. Oh, there's paths to follow, my friends. And then life is filled with much pain. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Well, I look back and I see the pain. I think about that wreck, how God used it. And how God humbled me that night and has helped me. And all I got to do is just look in the mirror to be reminded. Boy, this just come to my mind. I had 8 operations. I skipped 20 years. I had another one. Then I had another one. And then this past year, I had another surgery. And I went in, I never seen the doctor before. My brother just died. Boy, the Lord had really been burdening my heart, you know, to tell more people about the Lord. And I said, Doc, I just want to know, do you know the Lord Jesus? He said, yes, sir, I do. And I said, I said, you know, this life's going to be over. And I said, we're either going to heaven or hell. And he said, that's right. Boy, me and old Doc, we just hit it off, you know. And then the day of the surgery, he come in there. You know, now they mark you all up, what you going to do with that blue marker, you know. And he come in and I said, Doc, can we pray? And he said, be glad if you do. So we had prayer, you know. And man, we went down there. When I went back, you know, I said, well, he said, all I'm going to ask y'all, he said, I'll take what the insurance pays. And he said, you pay the deductible. I said, that's good enough, Doc. And so I went down there, and the others, he said, we just look at this as follow-ups, and now there's not going to be no copay. And man, I wished I hadn't been generous that day on my bill, amen. But I did. I went in and paid $100. They listened to me. He didn't charge me the other $400, amen. Son, God moved on his heart. When I went back here just a few weeks ago, I said, I want to thank you for what you did. And he said, boy, listen, we're going to do a little bit more. I said, well, that, but I want to, you know, the other thing. Oh, he said, I just glad I could, amen. Oh, listen, I want to say, my friends, life is filled with pain and people that God has put in our life. And then life, my friends, it needs to, my friends, more than just possessions. So like everything, it just hangs on the possession. But the Bible said, a man's life shall not consist of the bunch of things which he has. Hey, I like to tell the health and wealth crowd that, amen. There's so much pressure put on young people, young couples, to have all these things. You can have all them things and not be happy.
What about your relationship? You know, I was thinking about up there about personally when he's talking about no good deeds, how about doing? You know what? I'm glad this thing of salvation is personal. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going home with you. And old Paul said, and that thief on the cross said, remember me. And Paul said, he loved me. Well, I want to tell you, it's a personal relationship. It's not just joining the church. It's not getting baptized. It's not doing all you think you can or ought to do. It's knowing Him, my friend. Well, I tell you, when you meet Him, you won't be different. I mean, you'll be different, my friend. And I want to say, you can't convince me that God get in you and you'll not be different. Said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, life needs to be more than just possessions. I want you to notice there's three rich men mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. And let me look on my time here. And I want to be quickly as I can. I look at it and give me a drink of water. That'd be okay. Father told me one time, said, you remind me of a Walker Ham. I said, is that good or bad? He said, them rascals, when they get their second wind, they'll just keep on going. Amen. I said, well, I guess that's good. Amen. So we're trying to get our second wind. I want to say these three rich men. You remember in Luke chapter 18, in verses 18 through 23, this rich young ruler come to him and said, good master, what will I do to inherit eternal life? I believe that this young man has a burden and a tender heart. Had a young lady the other day out of church. I guess she's about 18 or 19. And she was back there and she was weeping. And in between tears, she said, preacher, I got to talk with you. And I said, yes. And so we went back there to the Sunday school room. And as far as I know, she never said one word. She couldn't control her crying. And finally, her aunt and uncle come back there. And I mean, I never saw a heart crush so bad and so tender. And as I was looking at that young lady, I said, oh, Lord, I need to have a tender heart like she's got. And we become too hard-hearted. We have no compassion for sinner friends. We have no compassion for them that's headed the wrong direction. And so we find this one, my friends, I believe he had a burden heart. And then in Luke chapter 12, the verses we read, I believe he's in a middle age. He's about retirement. He's busy. He's thinking about retirement. He said, boy, I'm going to think about all this laid up and for the rest of my life, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be married, have a good time. So one of them's got a burden on their heart, and one of them's got a busy, and he's left God out of everything. And we find other ones in Luke 16. He's burning. He's in hell. He died without God. The Bible didn't say he's old, didn't say he's sick. He just said, and died in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, that being said, I just want to give you three things and I'm through tonight. I want to say, number one, life is described. Number two, what about the direction of your life? And number three, what about the destination of your life? What about the, my friends, how is life described? Well, there's one in the book of James that said, my life is like a vapor. And then Job said this, remember that my life is like a wind. Well, I got to thinking, and you know, used to all I could think about on wind was, whew. Man, I come up 78, well, that tornado across there today, and man, I'm going to tell you what, it done some damage. It looked to me like it was about a half a mile wide. I think the TV said that it is a F4. That's getting about as big as they're going to get down here, you know. But I thought about that wind. And the wind. And life is described in the book of Psalms 102. It's described like a smoke and like a wind. And my friends, wind can be such a blessing. Now, you know, I learned something working in the woods. When the boss man, if there was any way possible, he always built a loading grain on, some people call it the loading ramp, on top of a hill. And he'd always leave a few shade trees. And if there's any breeze that's going to blow on top of that hill, boy, I tell you what, that wind. But I always just thought of wind being, whew, it's gone.
But I want to show you two things about when. When can be a blessing. Boy, I tell you what, I used to say, boy, you didn't get wringing wet with sweat and that wind go to blow. And I said, it'd take a whole lot of that to be too much. Amen. I used to wonder why my granddaddy wore a long sleeve and a hat. And I thought, my goodness, you're burning up. Man, I'm pulling clothes off. And I tell you what, he knew a lot more than I did. You get a ringing wet, and if there's any bit of wind, man, it's like somebody cut the air conditioner on. And now, they sent all these skin cancers in there still. That they're just baking themselves. If they can't get the sun, they'll get the tanning bed. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, and wind, my friends, can be a blessing. But watch this, wind can be and bring much damage. Life is the same way. Life can be such a blessing, but life can bring so much damage. I think about so many homes where mom and daddy's heart is broken because of a girl or a boy that has literally broken her heart in the way that they have lived and the lifestyle that they have. Oh, I want to say life. I remember one night when I was a teenager, somewhere or another, and the light shined behind the church up there where I went as a boy, and that something kind of lit up, you know. And so I went up there and I went around, and there's a truck parked behind the church. Well, I made another round and I got the tag number. I didn't know what was going on. I was just a teenager dad still working, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going down delivering milk. And I told Dad, there's a vehicle up there behind the church. And when Dad left the next morning, it was still there. But then up in the morning, it was gone. Well, I was down at the school one night, and then I seen this truck come through. And when it went by, I looked at it, and I said, that truck was parked behind the church. I said, it's the last four digits, like 64, 64. It's real easy to remember. I said, whose truck is that? And they told me. Well, the man that lived in the trailer right beside the church out there, he was a truck driver. And when he'd leave, that man would come and park behind the church and go stay with his wife. One night I come in about 11 o'clock and he'd put her out at the church and she was walking down the road there. And you know, I stopped and I called her by name and I said, there's something wrong. Can I help you? And boy, she just had a little grin on her face, you know. And she said, everything is all right there. But watch this. Boy, the lives at home was torn asunder. Boy, listen, lives can bring much destruction. Life can be a blessing. Her life can bring much destruction. But then I got to thinking about what's smoke good for? Well, about all I found out, it just irritates your eyes. Sometimes there's smoke, but there's no heat. But now watch this. If it does produce steam, then you're going to have a good bit of energy then. And if that steam, my friends, is handled right, there can be much energy and multitudes can be blessed by it. This might be pushing it just a little far, preacher friend, but you can't have steam without water, amen. Water and heat, and I kind of look at it as a type of the Holy Spirit. And then at the University of Alabama, and listen, the University of Alabama is a city within the city. But they heat that whole building, all those buildings by a boiler. Think about how your life, my friends, could be such a blessing to somebody. Life is described. How's your life described tonight? What about the direction? Which way are you headed? What kind of road are you on? Have you thought? Watch this now. Life is thought related. The Bible said it. He thought and said, this will I do. The Bible said, a wicked man in Psalms 10:4, the Lord is not at all in his thoughts. They wasn't in my heart that night and the wreck, but how things begin to change. But life is thought related. And the Bible said, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. And he said that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God's interested in your heart tonight. What about the direction of life? Have you thought about it? Then I remember I told you in verse 19. There, and he said,
and thy seed. Life not only is thought related, it's touch related. Bible said, no man liveth to himself. I thought about Brother Herman Sanford, the man that I worked in the woods. I've never told him what an impact he'd had on me. I shared this here several years ago, but tonight we run them Poland chainsaws, bow saws. They'd flood. Pull your arm off and it wouldn't crank. I seen men kick them. I seen men throw them down through the woods. I seen men cuss them. Brother Herman had set her down and walk off. I said, something a little different about him. And I seen him around his wife and his children the whole time we worked in the woods. I never heard him take the Lord's name in vain. He never really got on to me. He should have several times, but he might have just scolded me a little bit. But I want to tell you what a good work relationship we had. Then we was working one day, and I pulled on that saw, but I wasn't having good thoughts. Now, I don't know if I was going to body slam it or what I was going to do. I was huffing and puffing, heart rate had come up, and I looked up on the machine. He said, be you not weary and well doing for in deer season, you shall reap ye if you faint not. I said, Lord, what in the world is wrong with him? I said, he don't get mad, he don't cuss, and he's quoting verses. I said, oh, man, I tell you what, I don't know really what he's got, but I sure want it, amen. So all them years went by, and I never told him. One day God got to nudging on my heart, and I went over. He always called me, TJ, come on in, TJ, sit down. I went sit down a little bit, and we talked a little bit, and I said, Brother Herman, the reason why I come, I said, I never told you this, but I said, I want you to know that God used you in my life. As far as I know, I don't really think it ain't that he won't cry. I don't believe he can cry. I've never seen him cry. His mother and dad's funeral, his brothers, I never seen. And he kind of dropped his head and he swallowed two or three times. Here's what he said. He said, as far as I know, you're the only one. But I'm so glad I was one of them. Amen. I'm glad God used that man in my life and give me some direction and some of my friends. I thought about where I was going, what I was going to do, and then my friend, the destination of life. Where did the rich man life end? I think about so many's life have ended. And my friend, you'll find there in Luke 18, I believe it was, or Luke 12, God called him a fool. It was the only time that God ever called a man a fool in the Bible. He said, you're a fool, you're going to die tonight. Have you really gave life? Have you really gave your life to the Lord? Or is it just on convenient basis? You know, preachers, I really struggle with this, and that's people won't be faithful to church. We were not allowed to miss when I was at home. The only way we could miss was in the hospital to get out that day. I'm honest about it. Dad instilled that in me. Well, here a while back, right before Christmas, we had a little Christmas program, and so we had some parts, you know, and they all come every Sunday night for about a month or a little bit longer. So last Sunday I told him, I said, well, you know, and I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but I said, you can come because I said you have come. I said, you didn't miss a service on Sunday night when we was practicing. So I said, it seems to me like it's left up to you. Do you want to have it a priority? Is the church mean anything or not? And you know what I found? You can't shame them. They didn't show up Sunday night. Somebody, you know, I talked to some of my church, and she, a lady told me that day, said, well, you know, preacher, we just in the last days, you know, that thought in the way. Yeah, but you don't have to join with them. You can be faithful to the Lord's house, my friend. And I'll tell you what, you might not encourage anybody else, but I'll tell you one you'll encourage, and he's sitting right there with a red shirt on tonight. I wonder, what about your life? What do you want out of life? A lot of money? A lot of possessions? What do you want out of life? I would imagine what you want is going to be demonstrated in how you live. And the priority you put on the Lord or His house, you're instilling that in them. You know, my dad, there was two different, if you allow me to say this, well, instead of saying bunch of two different age groups. It's 13 years difference between me and my oldest brother, and about 11 between next to the oldest. Then there was my sister, and then there was two, me and my younger brother. Then the whole time with those two, they knew different dad than what I knew. And when I come up, dad had gotten to church and led the singing. And of course, dad done things that I'm sure he's ashamed of and things that he ought not to have done, but he still instilled in me the importance of going to church. He really got my attention when I was a teenager. I had a little blue Chevy Chevette, you know. I'd washed that thing and told my dad, I said, I got a date tonight, and it's Saturday night. And he said, well, that's good, son. But now, two Saturday nights a month, we had to go to church. One of them was a singing, and one of them was a business meeting, if you can believe that. And I believe this was a singing. And Dad said, well, that's fine. He said, you just go get her and come to church. And I said, Dad, you don't understand. I said, I got a date tonight. He said, it's like this, son. That's my car, and I put gas in it. Either you go get her and come to church, or you go to church. You just take your choice. I said, well, Dad, Ben, you put it that way, I'll just go get her and come on to church then. Dad's kind of that old school. And you know, as a teenage boy, I didn't think too much about that. But as I grew older, and after my daddy died, I thanked him a bunch of times. Thank you for taking me, for taking me to church. Thank you. Well, what do you want out of life? Brother Ron, I'll let you take the service, you the pastor, of what you want to do. I'll leave it up to you.